WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org/radio, where you will find links to our audio player as well as those of TuneIn, Simple Radio, Streama, and Radio Garden, as well as our listen by phone number, which is 631-359-8728.
The devil went down to Deep Gap. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind, and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young blind man playing tunes, picking it hot, the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said,
"Boy, let me tell you what, I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a guitar picker too. And if you care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you got a pretty good lick, old boy, but give the devil his due. I'll bet a guitar of gold against your soul, cause I think I'm better than you."
The boy said,
"My name's Arthel, and though it be unwise, I'll take that bet you're gonna regret. I can see right through your lies.
Arthel, get yourself warmed up and let your fingers fly. Sales broke loose in Carolina, and the devil, he ain't shy. If you win, you'll get this shiny guitar made of gold. But if you lose, the devil gets your soul."
Up his case and he said,
"Let me start this thing."
And fire flew from his fingertips as he was tuning up his strings. And as he laid his pick up to the wires, it made an evil wail. Then a band of demons all joined in and released the shouting girl.
Pretty good there, son. But sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done.
Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house with the rising sun. Lost trying to walk him out in the rain. Deep river blues and a ribbon strain.
Because he knew that he had been beat. And he laid that golden guitar on the ground at Arthel's feet. He said,
"Devil, you can come on back if you want another shock. But if you ever show your face around here, from now on, call me Doc."
And he played black on rag, step it up and go. Billy in a low brown shady grove. Sweet little dog.
Bentley Strings at the Saturday Light Brigade. Brian Sutton is on that recording as well. And perhaps, best of all, Del McCoury, now 86 years old. Welcome, Brigadier. Welcome to this hour of the Saturday Light Brigade. In a moment, Mirabel Skipworth is going to join us, and Olive Kramer, who you've heard share her music before, is in 10th grade at Lincoln Park. She'll sit in as we talk about music with Mirabel. All coming up in about a minute.
The Northside Chronicle joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. The Northside Chronicle is a nonprofit community newspaper available in print, digital, and mobile formats that provides coverage of the people, places, and events in the 18 Northside neighborhoods of Pittsburgh. Details on the Northside Chronicle is available at thenorthsidechronicle.com.
Be the first to learn about upcoming on-air guests and features by subscribing to Brigadier Briefings. Each newsletter includes an original puzzle, links to past programs, and details about youth and adults appearing on the next edition of the Saturday Light Brigade. Get closer to SLB by subscribing to our newsletter at slbradio.org/subscribe.
Next week, the May Day Marching Band will be here with us. In our 11 o'clock hour. On February 14th, we're going to celebrate Mardi Gras with Fat Man D. But today is January 24th, and it's a pleasure for us to welcome back a really gifted vocalist and songwriter. You'll get a chance to get to know her a little bit more. She'll open with a song. She has a new release that will be out very soon called When the Waters Part. Here is Mirabel Skipworth.
Tightly, the first time that we touched, I felt you breathing heavy as you prayed to God above. And just as He ordained it, we broke our hands apart. Look sharply at your shame, love, let it nest inside. I'd like to feel regret. An addiction to that feeling, demanding in the light. Leave me hungry, darling, and stone me down when it is light. So hold me fast, hold me tight, hold me whatever way you like, 'cause I can't. I can't feel it anymore. in the back seat of the car. It drives you to deceiving yourself that your body is at war. That ring upon your finger, ew, I welcome to the feast. And then it's all supposed to taste good, but you're too scared to take a seat. So hold me fast, hold me tight, hold me whatever way you like, 'cause I can't feel it anymore. Yes, I can't feel it anymore. Yes, hold me fast, hold me tight, hold me whatever way you like, 'cause I can't feel it anymore. I can't feel it anymore. Yes, I can't feel.
Mirabel Skipworth, what a great song. When did you write that?
I wrote that, it's been about a year and a half now, I think, maybe almost 2 years.
That's the kind of song I think a lot of people can relate to.
Yeah.
The idea of whether you can feel is honestly as he once did, and
yeah,
it's a lyric that really sticks with you. Will that be on your new album, or have you recorded it yet?
Yes, that's it was actually the first single that I released off the first album, so that song's actually already out and can be listened to, and has a really cool steel guitar pedal steel guitar part.
Oh, that's great. Who does that?
Tucker Metzel.
Oh,
yeah.
Very nice. You know Olive Kramer. I want to bring her in right away. As you're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade, Olive's been really active at our Youth Media Center, and you've heard her on the air. If you listen weekly, she was on playing music herself. And let me turn it over to you to chat with Mirabel a little bit in between songs.
Yeah, that was great. I heard that, I saw it when it was released, and I'm like, okay, I'll take a listen. And I heard the pedal steel. My mom really loves pedal steel, so I shared it with her, and she was just like, oh, that's amazing.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, I've heard that song before. It's really beautiful.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was fun to record it. The whole album was recorded entirely live, with no overdubs, and so it was a really fun experience to be in that room with my friends and to get to like look at each other while we were playing the song. And so like as you hear it on the recording is like as it was recorded. So yeah,
that's amazing. I've never done something. I've always just overdubbed everything.
There's different ways to do it, and I think both ways are really fun. And it's if you have a chance to do it different ways in your life, you know?
Because I'm always the only musician on my tracks, so I can't play everything at the same time.
Yeah, that would be very difficult to do.
Yeah.
I have not figured that out yet, so thankfully I have friends in my life who can play their respective instruments much better than I could.
Yeah.
But it's really admirable that you're able to play
all those
parts. Yeah.
Do you have any questions? Maybe you're both songwriters, about the songwriting process Mirabel goes through. Maybe you want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so something I've been thinking about lately is whether people write the melody or the lyrics first, or the chords first, or what came first, or the idea, or...
For this particular song, I don't
remember.
It's often... I write in both ways, because I think that it's good to experiment with different, you know, directions of writing, because you just get different songs from different ways of starting a song even. This song, I believe it all kind of happened at once, and it was one of those songs that came really quickly, and I think, like, I had a lot on my mind, and it kind of flowed out of me, and what I probably started playing that little guitar lick, and it felt a certain way, and then those, like, those emotions and thoughts that I was feeling kind of connected with that little guitar riff, and then everything else kind of flowed from that spot, you know, that emotional place. And it's cool when music can do that and can spark things that you're like, oh, I gotta address that. Let's put it in a song, you know. Yeah.
Now, Olive is in 10th grade. When did you start creating music, Olive?
Well, I've been creating music my whole life, but I started my kind of catalog. I started, I guess, listing all the ones that I had actually, like, put words and chords and melody to when I was maybe 13, so a couple years, and I have over 100 now.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Let's find out Mirabelle's history and then have her do another song. I hope you don't mind us double teaming you.
No,
here.
I love it. It's awesome.
So, Mirabelle Skipworth, when did you start writing? Do you have a conscious memory of, like, I'm going to start making music, I'm going to start playing a particular instrument?
Yeah, it all, like, what I consider, like, my serious start was when I was 15. I got the guitar, like, a year before, and I, for some reason, just didn't pick it up until about a year later, and I learned two chords, and I immediately wrote, like, an 8-minute song, and I was like, wow, this is awesome. And that particular summer afterwards, like, I just turned 16, I was, like, in my family's hot garage writing, like, a song or two a day, and, like, none of them were good, but it was really fun, and all of it was really exciting, and that's when I started gigging too, and I could only play downstrokes on the guitar. Remember my first gig? It was a 4-hour gig at a pizza place, and I was like, I'm not repeating any songs, but I could only play downstrokes. And
that's pretty brave. You can only play downstrokes. You know two chords primarily.
Yeah, I learned some more chords, but I was like a couple months after I started learning guitar. But yeah, it was kind of when I bought a PA system specifically for that gig. And
probably a fake book too, I would imagine.
it was the phrase, throwing the baby in the pool, bathwater. I don't know what it is.
Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Or everything in the kitchen. So there's
some kind of phrase, but the gist of it is, like,
the whole kit and caboodle might be it.
Sure.
But you just put yourself out there. And
And it was, like, a very, like, humble way to start, where you're like, this is not glamorous, but it's so cool that someone's paying me money to play music. You know, like, I did not even think that was a possibility.
What community was this in?
I grew up in Illinois, so this was about an hour outside of Chicago. So it was in Oswego, Illinois, when I first, that was my first gig, and the place is no longer a pizza place, but it's still there. and I'm very thankful for it. They paid me pretty fairly for a, you know, just turned 16-year-old who would have accepted, you know, whatever.
what an experience. You can hear and see Mirabelle February 12th at the Roots Cellar, 6300 Fifth Avenue. This is a Calliope concert, so you can learn more about it. But it's a nice venue under the Pittsburgh Center for the Arts, coffee house type style. Mm-hmm. We want to be sure we get to more music, but I'm curious about the album. Actually, we'll talk don't we have you play another song first? But I'm curious to hear about the idea of recording an album start to finish with no overdubbing or extensive technology. But we'll talk about that in a minute. What song would you like to do next?
This is actually the second single. I released it yesterday, and it's called I Want to Feel It All. And it comes right after The Feast, which I just played on the album. And with that I Want to Feel It All, that title, I think, gives you an idea why. But it started, I started this song after a really nice beach day with some friends, and I was, if you've ever had that moment where you're like, wow, this is so beautiful, but now I'm thinking about how I should be feeling about it, I just want to experience it without, you know, trying to think about what I should be feeling about it. And anyway, it goes like this.
Pointing with an outstretched arm towards a lighthouse in the clouds, an overbearing pasture with sheep that make no sound. He said it looks just like a painting. I nodded to agree. Still sort of leaning, you watched as they retreat. Oh, I want to feel it all. Oh, thank you.
Mirabelle Skipworth, and Olive Kramer is here with us too, a younger singer-songwriter. I'm going to turn it over to her to ask anything that she might like to know about you, since you're a mentor or a near peer, so to speak. But before that, I'm thrilled that you created your soon-to-be-released album, When the Waters Part, that you created that live. And I'm curious why you chose that and also what that process was like.
Yeah, so we recorded over at The Sanctuary, which is the new location of Mr. Small's studio. I'm in Millvale, and I worked with Brandon Stroop, who is incredible at this particular thing, which is capturing something live and capturing like the feeling of the song above anything, which I think is really important to me, because my favorite thing in the world is performing live, and there's something that's kind of hard to capture there. In the studio, and I wanted to try to capture that feeling through recording, especially because the musicians that I have in my life currently are so wonderful and skilled at what they do, and I knew that they could do it.
So did you do it in just one take?
So yeah, we did. We took multiple full takes, and then we kind of looked, and we were like, "Which take is the best of them all?" And so it's kind of like you're bracing yourself. You're like, "I sure hope this take is really going really well. I sure hope I don't mess up in the last couple minutes of the song." But we did it over 3 days, and we also did it without headphones. So all we were hearing was what was in the room, and it was very interesting, and I think it turned out great. A lot of that has to do with Brandon and his skill in that particular area, and the musicians that I had. Cody Piper also played on most of the album. He plays keys and sings harmonies on that song I just played, and he's got. He helped co-produce and arrange it, and has such a good ear. And so when we were trying to work out harmonies, he could hear like the little differences or mistakes people were making, and be like, "Actually, you need to sing this note at this spot, and we need to blend better here."
Would he stop you ever?
he would let the take go, you know, but. We really locked in before we were recording, and that was really helpful, and it shows in a lot of the songs with a little more, like where there's more than two or three harmony parts going at the same time, you wouldn't think that they were live, and a lot of that has to do with him, you know, going choir teacher on everyone. He's just amazing, and I was really thankful to have him. And so I didn't have to go choir teacher on everyone, and I could just focus on playing my songs.
Yeah. I don't want to put you on the spot, but who else is on the album with you?
Yeah, so like I said, Tucker Metzl plays pedal steel on two songs and then plays bass for the rest of it, and Cody plays keys. He actually also plays bass on the two songs Tucker plays pedal steel on. And then we have Caitlin Fajardo. She sings some harmonies on a few songs, and Julia Nora sings some harmonies on a few songs. We have Brad Yoder playing saxophone on a couple of the songs, who Olive knows. That's how we initially connected. And then Tracy Horton played drums on a couple songs as well. Yeah.
The album, it's called When the Waters Part, and I suspect it will be available at the Roots Cellar, which is February 12th, when Mirabelle Skipworth, whose voice you just heard, will be playing along with some of those musicians, I suspect, at the Roots Cellar series, sponsored by Calliope house. She'll do another song in just a moment or two, but Olive, I would imagine you're thinking about some things you might want to ask Mirabel about.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering what your system for releasing things are. Like, how long do you wait before releasing singles? Which specific singles do you release off of the album that you're going to release later?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. And to be honest, Olive, I keep figuring it out as I go, you know?
Yeah.
And every release is a little different, especially as like an independent artist releasing music. I'm an album person. I listen to music as a whole. And so I personally, for like what I I want the singles to come close enough to the album. I don't want it to be too spread out. So they're currently coming out in 2-week increments before the album. The last single will come out in 2 weeks, and then the album the next week. In terms of choosing the songs, I picked 3 songs that are quite different from each other to kind of represent different aspects of the album. And I also kind of got input from my collaborators about which songs do you think would work well as singles, which ones represent what the album's all about, and landed there. And yeah, so it's a very loose process. And in terms of advertising and marketing it, I just want to be stay true to like who I am as an artist, and a lot of I guess like what I love about music is it's brought me so much community. And so when releasing an album, it's like a good time to call on that community that I've cultivated and be like, okay, so, you know, I know Larry, I've met Larry. Larry's gonna, you know, come help me promote this album and release, or somebody who does write-ups on, you know, something that I've built a connection with, or this venue. And so like it's kind of like it's a good time to like catalog and look back at all the people that have helped me so far, or have shown interest in my music so far, and be like, hey, can I ask a favor, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really fun to see like the fruits of that work and community.
Yeah. So I'm trying to figure out when to release my next album, because I released my last one 3 months ago, and I don't think I should just immediately release another one. But I released 2 singles from it already, so yeah. Like maybe 3. I'm not sure whether to actually include that third one on the album. But I'm just trying to figure out what to release on it, and what to keep hidden until I bring the entire thing out.
Yeah.
And just I think I might release it sometime around May, but I'm not really sure.
I think that's a great timeline. Yeah. And also, I think we've talked about this before, just like a little bit ago, is that there are so many people in this life, particularly in the music business, that'll be like, you have to do it this specific way, and that's the only way. And you'll learn very quickly that that's just wrong. And there are so many ways to do the release music and do this music thing. And I think above all, it's like, what unique thing works for me? And we can like get into the nitty gritty about like strategy.
Yeah.
Maybe we can talk about that, you know, later. But I think it's like, do you want people to hear these songs? Put them out, you know?
Yeah.
I think a big part of it too, and I'm not a musician, but I know enough of them. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm a little bit part of the chain.
Yeah.
Is what's your purpose in releasing singles or releasing albums?
Yeah.
It is the purpose to have your tribe, your fan base, as they exist, purchase them? Is your purpose to have people like me sample them and hopefully play them and become acquainted with them? And what that might be is, do you want a relatively finite number of people to simply have easy access, or do you hope to have a large, big pool of people suddenly listen? And I think having clarity to what you're hoping to accomplish, it really matters, at least from my perspective. I think it does.
Yeah, I think that's very true. And your purpose and for releasing music is going to change over time once you've like kind of established yourself in the and your career trajectory. Because like when I first released my first album, it was very much like I want my friends and my family and like the few people that I've made fans of to have an example of my music in recorded form, and to have something to show people who are like, what's your music sound like? You know, especially like venues or, you know, radio personnel or whatever. And then at this point in my career, I've been doing it for 10 years, it's a little bit more of like, let's see if any new people are going to resonate with what I'm doing. Now that I've like established myself as an artist, there's like, I have a history behind me, and have more connections, and have grown a lot as a musician. I can focus a little bit more in that area. And it's a lot easier to do that because I've been doing it for a long time, and more people, not a lot of people know who I am, but more people know who I am than 10 years ago when I first started. You know what I mean?
That's Mirabelle Skipworth. She's got, three more songs. I'm trying to keep track, and it's hard. I'm enjoying listening so much. What would you like to do next?
This one is another song that'll be on the album. It won't be a single, but it's another one of those songs that features Tucker on the pedal steel, if you can imagine it. And it is called Peter, Pull Your Pants Up.
And I'm going to take a little, just a short little video of you, so people will get a chance to get a sneak preview. Here again, Mirabelle Skipworth.
Peace.
and your father? Did you leave them in your boat, oh Peter? Are they still fishing? I bet they miss you. Do they wonder why you had to go? You try to wave it away, but you were screwing up traffic to keep your virtue safe. But it only made you madder. You sense the coming rain. Welcome like a brother. You said it'd be okay, but your feet.
Mirabelle Skipworth, every song you do, or at least you've done this morning, the images and stories are so evocative and seem grounded in truth and reality. And I don't want to violate any boundaries. But it sounds like you've either lived or observed a lot of what you're singing about. And again, I don't want to delve too deep, but yeah. These are incredible songs.
Well, thank you. Yeah, this album is a very personal album for me, and it takes on a very specific arc. And that song in particular is using a character. In this case, it's funny. Is someone once asked me after a set, is like, that song's not about Spider-Man, is it? I was like, no, it's not.
Oh, Peter Parker.
Yeah, I was like, no, it's not. But that's so funny that you asked. But it's using this character from the Bible, which is one of the disciples, Peter, and putting him in this story about essentially forging his own path and leaving what he thought was true or grew up and thinking was true and figuring out what he actually believes. And it's like this that progression. And I think that's a really relatable story in general, and something that I obviously has a lot of me in it through this character. And yeah.
Are you publishing your lyrics with the new release?
Yeah, so those will all be online, and also I am making up some lyric books too, and oh, cool. I'll have those at my release show, because some people like to read along or have them for afterwards when they, you know, are listening to it. But
that's a good idea. I noticed all have reacted positively to that. Being able to read lyrics always has mattered to me. we've got another two songs to do, and we've got time to do them. Olive, anything you're itching to ask before Mirabelle plays the next one?
Not at the moment, no.
Okay, well, let's listen. What would you like to do next?
I'm going to play what will be the last single before the album, and it's actually the oldest song that I have on the album. Most songs don't last this long. I think this song is about 6 years old, which is a lot when you're 26. You know, what you write at 20 is not usually what you keep at 26. And it's called This House.
Were quick but hesitant, man the holes in my shoes, mimed that my feet were cold but fine. Till I got a vivid, those shoes turned to ashes and your warmth wrapped around its skin. Familiar with this house, laying the ground
Mirabelle Skipworth. And that's a song that reminds me to compliment you as a vocalist. As really, every song you've sung today has, we've talked a lot about the writing because they are extremely well written. But what a voice you have. Clearly, you've taken some time, I think, to hone it. And let me let you know that MirabelleSkipworth.com is how you can find out all sorts of information. And I think if you probably can just search on it, spelling it the way you think is best, and it'll show up. M-I-R-A, then Bell with an E at the end, Skipworth, spelled the way you would imagine. The album coming out is When the Waters Part, officially out on February 13th. You can get a jump start on February 12th at the Roots seller. Are physical copies or just...
Yes.
I thought so. Physical copies will be available. That concert presented through calliopehouse.org. And before you do one more song, I'm going to turn to Olivia. First up, or Olive, I'm sorry. I'm saying,
I get that
a lot. I was going to say, I'll bet that happens all the time. Olive Kramer, to ask, to thank you for sitting in to do this interview, but also to ask if you have any other questions of Mirabelle since we're about to finish up.
Yeah, I had a couple questions. First of all, have you gone through, I guess, a period in your life where you're, like, constantly writing and, like, it seems like every song is good and you just can't, like, slow down?
Yes. And then it's usually followed by a period of time where every song I write is, I think, is bad. or just, like, you know, I think there's, like, definitely different periods of my life where I just feel a lot more creative. And usually that's marked by consuming and, like, experiencing a lot, or being around my writer friends and being inspired by them, or going out and seeing music that I really love, or reading a really good book. And so if I'm in a period of my life where that's all that is kind of in place, then I feel really creative. And then kind of in, like, in periods of time where things are a little slower, and I'm not consuming as much, I'm usually not writing as much. And that's not always a bad thing. Sometimes you need to, like...
Yeah, that's what I'm... So I'm kind of looking forward to running into a time when I finally slow down, because now I have way too much kind of overflowing and I need to slow down because I feel like I'm releasing too much and everything's just, like, kind of popping out.
There's never too much.
It's just like, I've been trying to, like, eliminate songs off of the album because I was starting to get, like, I don't know how many, but I kind of got it down to 11. I might want to, because I know that I'll get more, so I'll have, like, a 14 song album at least.
Yeah.
My other question was about your album title. Is it When the Waters Part, is that the name of a song that's going to be on the album, or is it just, like, itself?
It is a song. It's the first song on the album. So
okay.
It is, yeah. And it's... I've accidentally made all my releases alliterations, like albums and EPs, and this is kind of like part of it's an alliteration, so I'm going to count it. But, yeah, it's the name of one of the songs. And I also think thematically... is a good overarching description of what the album, you know, the themes that the album takes
well,
on.
Well, I can't wait to listen to it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Those are both such good questions, Olive. Thank you. I hope you'll come by to do this again. It's really great to have your perspective.
Yeah, of course.
And what would you like to finish up with, Mirabelle?
I'm going to end with what will be the last song on the album, and it's called... In the Night and Early Morning, and it was the last song that we recorded on the first day of recording, and at the beginning of the day, we were like, wouldn't it be cute, or I think it was me, I said, wouldn't it be cute if I sat down for this whole recording day, because it was very, like, a very, like, calm song day. And like for the first few hours, it was great. By this song, all of our legs were so achy. So you can hear that in the recording a little bit. But thank you so much for having me.
Has persuaded your feet to walk upon is quiet and complicated, uncertain and overdrawn. But as long as you're okay, then well, I'll let you sing along in the night and early morning. Our troubles aren't so strong. Though I know the darkness surrounds this early eve, pleads for our attention, lulls us and deceives. I'll wrap my arms around you, and you'll rest within my fold. In the night and early morning, when our troubles don't feel so cold. Fingers upon my lips, I'll taste your gentle patience, admire your subtle movement, feast upon my knowledge, well, I'll tell you everything. In the night and early morning, when our troubles quite
Pick and Minute here. What is going on? You're tuned to Freeform Radio from Carnegie Mellon University, 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh, and Tube City Online Radio in McKeesport. It's 12 o'clock.
marshmallow